Hey, everybody. It's Steve with Three Fat Truckers. I'm here today with my buddies Dave and Bill. How you doing, fellas?
Fantastic. Good to be here.
I'm kind of light on the buddy thing. I've been with you 2 days already. I don't know.
Yeah.
No friends.
Man, I ain't done with that.
We're down here at the 2023 Matt's Truck Show down here in Louisville, Kentucky. We're sitting down here with Michael Lombard from Lombard Trucking. How are we doing today, Michael?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You look like a fit fella, and us Three Fat Truckers, you know, making us look like
I don't know if the camera's doing you justice, but that chin is just magnificent.
Oh, chiseled, chiseled. Got the dimple in the middle. The beard ain't hiding it there, is it?
The butt chin, yeah. People mention that.
They call that chiseled.
He's even got a little dimple there. The girls are going to like this video.
I used to carry a beard, but, like, I got rid of, like, now that I'm down back to one chin. I will clean shave more often now.
No, that's why I keep the long one. Now I cover up 4 or 5 of them chins, you know what I mean?
You wouldn't know he's fat.
No. Oh, yeah, you would.
No, I have no. I wouldn't know if you weren't wearing the shirts, if I'm being honest.
Oh, there you go, there you go.
Yeah,
does it say fat?
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So a little bit about me. I'm born and raised from Connecticut. Family's originally from Waterbury. Trucking-wise, my family actually, my grandfather's grandfather, started a trucking company with a horse and carriage back in Waterbury in the early 1900s. And used to be the largest motor carrier in the Northeast. They had terminals from Baltimore.
They ran stock Conestogas in.
Yeah, real Conestoga stuff. They used to do ice. And then they were like a union, like Teamster affiliate, and deregulation kind of nailed them shut. And then they were bought out by a company in 84, but that company, North Penn Transfer, folded in 92. But my grandfather drove for 30 years, and I didn't get into trucking. My father didn't truck. I didn't get into trucking until I had turned 30, because everybody tried to talk me out of it. And then so I was in the Marines for 4 years. I got out, went to college, played lacrosse, smoked a bunch of weed, worked some jobs I hate, and then ended up getting kind of annoyed with living in Connecticut. Wanted to change my career. Moved out to Central Texas and started trucking.
Now I got a question.
Long and short. Yeah, you got a question.
You said you started in the ice business.
No, well, that's, yeah, my grandfather's grandfather, he would deliver ice, yeah.
He would deliver it, so they would go out to the lakes and literally cut it and put it in the boxes and deliver it?
They would bring it to restaurants, like, up in the Litchfield Hills in Connecticut. Yeah, they would move large blocks of ice for, like, refrigerating meat.
I bet they had big glasses in.
He was talking about one of my favorite things, though. Well, there's three things.
There's Jim Beam.
No, there's three things I like, you know, chicken pot pie, all three of them. But,
yeah.
Chicken pot and pie.
Oh, yeah. That's a big three.
Yeah.
That's a solid
big three.
That should be a store.
There you go.
The pop.
So I had all three of those in one day before.
So how long have you been driving now then?
I've been trucking for 3 years.
3 years.
Owner-operator.
Yeah. Owner-operator for a year. Yeah.
There you go.
You got a 72 Mac 1 stack window in the back?
Oh, no. A lot of drivers are going to hate me. I drive one of those, brand, you know, plastic.
He's getting ready to say Volvo.
2018 Peterbilt 579. Okay. So, but I mean, you never know. Truckers get on there. Once you tell them that you have to put DEF in your truck, you know, they judge you. You start getting judged for it.
See, I'm a 567 guy. In there? Love the new Peterbilt 567. So yeah. I can't hate on you.
Yeah, I had a 389. So, but mine was a glider kit.
Yeah, I wish. But yeah, I got a Peterbilt 579. Got it for a great price at TLG Peterbilt in Fort Smith. Shout out. I'll give him a plug.
There you go. There you go.
I'll plug Tim over there.
So what made you jump from a company driver to owner-operator?
What's crazy is a lot of people will always tell you the money. Like, you know, you obviously can make more money, quote, which is...
But you're increasing the headache, too.
So, yeah, the headache definitely gets increased. But the real reason and I mean every word of this, was to honor my family and bring back a company that, you know, was, you know, should have turned 100 years old this year. Incorporated. Unfortunately, it didn't. So I'm trying to build something the same way, you know, the same way like my family did when they first came to the
Now, state. Do you have just your truck or do you have other trucks with you or what?
Just me. You know, I think everybody knows it's kind of a soft market. I probably got in at the worst time. And so it's especially having to starting off running off the spot, you know, was tough. So it is just me. Looking to grow would be great. I definitely want to. It's just cash flowing.
Now, are you running for a dedicated company? Or are you running a load board for yourself or what?
So currently I'm leased on with Warren Transport. So
okay.
I can still work off load boards and find my own. I'm free to find my own freight, but I do work with a fleet manager, and they have I mean, they have contracts.
They keep you busy?
Yeah, they have contracts. And I'm moving, like, you know, equipment. I'm doing, like, RGN.
Okay.
Step
that's,
tech.
Yep, that's what I did.
Type stuff. So it's been good. If I didn't get on over with Warren, I might have had to sell the truck or figure something out because of just I didn't have relationships with those with brokers.
You know when you're driving, the bank can't find you.
What's that?
You know when you're driving, the bank can't find you.
Oh, that's not, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but you just can't never stop.
Now, are you running out of a certain area?
For the most part, yeah, they're triangle. They basically, the 35 corridor, like so, but you're basically east of 35. You know,
so you're so pretty much your home, if you have a home still, is based out of Texas right now?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's where I live. You know,
I mean, do you have a home beside your truck? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
some owner operators, I mean, that's.
If I was
they're living in the truck and paying their bills and saving their money, you know?
If I was a single guy, that would be the move. Like, if I wasn't married, I would definitely just, I'd be living in the truck, and I would do that life. Like,
sure.
I'm all about that life. You know, I used to be in the Marines. I've slept in the dirt. I could sleep anywhere. Yeah, that doesn't matter. Sleeping in the truck.
So we have a wife and kids, too?
No, not yet.
Hopefully, not yet.
God willing, hopefully we'll get there. But there I do have a wife. You know, God bless her.
She puts up with you being gone all the time. It's hard to find a good one like that.
Yeah, it is. It is very hard. I'm blessed. You know, luckily it wasn't something we weren't. And then for anybody out there who's in a relationship, I mean, we kind of got used to it. We started dating when I was still in the Marines, so we got used to long distance. And then she used to work in New York City, so she would commute to New York City all the time and would sometimes stay overnight. So we kind of always, done the distance stuff. So you get used to it, and you learn to work. And when it's your best friend, like, you don't let each other down.
Okay.
That helps.
Tell us a little bit about your podcast. You get on here and do this, too. That's what I want to know about.
So, yeah, my podcast. What's crazy is I didn't want to start one. I had friends of mine who told me, hey, man, you're getting into driving. You should start documenting your content. And I was like, I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to look like a clown, imposter syndrome. And then, you know, people started.
Yeah.
I don't want people, I didn't want the hate. I don't want the Russian Chinese bots coming at me, you know, all that stuff. But then, like, all my friends are like, hey, dude, you're out there. You're training for these marathons and you're a fucking truck driver. Can I curse? Yeah, right? Okay. And they're like, you had to be doing this. Like, there's people who probably need to see that stuff. Like, there's people who need to see that, you're out doing this, like, uncommon stuff. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. And then I really started turning it on when I got my own truck, too. I was like, well, I want to pump out more content because I'm learning from other guys who are making content. So I'll document my stuff out there. So I got on there and talk, and I basically just tell my story. Now it's kind of gone into, like, a little bit more activism with talking about truck parking and getting drivers on to talk about issues there. Like, I want to hear from other drivers talk about their stuff. And then also, you know, I talk about my life and, like, everything with health and fitness-wise and staying in shape and how I'm coaching drivers.
So
it's about everything.
So what I hear is you hate the fast foods and all the rest stuff. What did they ever do to you?
They're killing us, Dave. So if I could put a tinfoil hat on for a moment, can I? So I think – so this is a layered thing. I think the industry is set up to keep guys
unhealthy,
unfit, and unwell by design. Because when people are, and I mean no offense,
unfit and unwell, I can do the job.
When people, you know, your mental health, basically, you're less likely to advocate for yourself. When people are in a position where they're not taking care of themselves in the best way, they're not going to want to take care of others, kind of, so to speak. And so, I feel like they put all the major retailers, especially post deregulation, they just got the big money signs in there because. You know, why are they gonna try to source really good healthy food or have some small mom and pop restaurant in there when Burger King's gonna pay them huge bucks? So they do it by design to do it. No, they don't hate me. Trust me, I don't shy away from. I haven't given up.
I swear to God, I heard man, that guy with the Burger King is.
I tell you, I haven't given up anything. A Burger King was my first job in high school. I'm a Whopper respecter.
Okay.
So yeah, I definitely have.
I can't stand them, but I'm so fit, I don't have to worry about it now. So.
Yeah. That is also true.
And I'm old.
You don't have to take care of it. Yeah, Burger King was my first job. I've got nothing against that. You
so
know,
did you like Burger Chef?
Burger Chef.
He's as old, not as old as you. Burger Chef was Hardee's before it was Hardee's.
Okay. So then who's Carl Jr.? Carl Jr.
Carl Jr. was a West Coast, and Burger, they bought Carl's Jr. out. And made it one, so still the same.
So that's
it was actually Burger Chef originally.
No, I know. Yeah, I told you I'm in my 30s, right? Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
knew you didn't know the answer. That's why I went there.
Oh, that's why I went there. Listen,
I definitely don't. I haven't given up anything when it comes to food. It's just, it's all about the moderation, man.
It is.
Yeah.
I
gluttony, Dave. Gluttony.
These guys give me a hassle because I literally eat out of my truck all the time. I'll fix roasted pork, pork chops, sausage.
Oh, I did too when I was out there.
On the grill.
Them road.
Right now I'm doing a little. I retired from Republic after 30 years driving local. I delivered dumpsters. I worked for OmniSource 12 years. I basically retired. A friend of mine said, come drive for me. Mm-hmm. So now I'm driving over the road just because I need something to do.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, so I'm.
That's good. Are you posting the videos of all your cooking? Because this is what I'm trying to tell guys to
no,
do.
No, because. See,
them Road Pro little lunchbox ovens, mm-hmm. I turn these guys on to them. And on the weekends, I would take and make meals and cover them, whether it be lasagna or cheesy enchiladas and stuff. And then I'd set them on their seats of the truck. They get to work with it. What's this? Okay. And they put them in them boxes and let them go an hour. Oh, and then they had a hot meal.
See, my microwave's out. I actually have a hot air fryer convection microwave in my truck now. I spent $150.
With the big screen TV and the satellite.
I mean, I
the hot tub on the catwalk. I mean,
oh, yeah. I got the Wi-Fi.
And I make my food. I got my salads. I've already learned buy a head of lettuce, buy them bags of shit is just wasting your money. You throw them, buy a head of lettuce, chop it up with your hands, put it in a bag, throw some vegetables in there, and it'll last all week.
That's see, man, you need to be posting this because this is what guys need to be doing, cooking their own food, making their own meals, too.
I don't post it. I guess I could.
Yeah.
Start bringing it to the show. I had a guy cut me off on the right-hand side. I was turning right into
Pizza where?
Hut. Yeah.
Into Pizza Hut.
And this guy tried past me on the right. Up over.
And he's got a dash cam of him.
Dash cam. So we got to, you know, he got cop come up to me, and I'm standing with my license registration, you know, waiting. Big guy come up, put his hand on my shoulder and goes, I don't need none from you, son. He's an idiot. He fucking knows better. Have a nice day or enjoy it. That's exactly what he told me. And I'm like, man, cops don't talk to you like that no more, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's a rare occasion.
That was shocking on that, so.
Yeah, but, you got lucky.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't hit me. I mean, it was close.
He took out the fender on that guide wire, though.
Yeah, but he caught the fender on the guide wire. And
ripped the fender right off.
I bet that puckered his butthole, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he was mad at me. He called in my company. Your driver run me off the road. And then Mike just looked at the camera and go, what do you mean he run you off the road? You're passing him turning right, you know?
Bingo. Yeah. Sometimes the cameras have helped.
Yes.
I'd say that. They've said they've definitely saved some people's asses, without a doubt.
So, well, I like having a guy that's healthy on here. We could post that. You know, usually, now you got to realize I come before this hobby that's getting out of hand. I did barbecue competition, me and Mike. Did Rib Fest and barbecue, I had a full-blown trailer and competition.
Oh, yeah. See, this is my language.
We did it for 10 years, and that was wonderful.
He lives down in Texas, barbecue country, brother.
So, hey,
you're down that way. My favorite place down there is Soul Man's. Have you had Soul Man's?
Yeah, Soul Man's Barbecue.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
So you know Soul Man's.
Oh, yeah. Soul Man's, and then about every friggin' truck stop down there. Well, not truck stop. The fuel stops they have the...
He likes it.
The smokehouse, Texas Smokehouse or whatever.
Who is it? Texas Smokehouse. Yeah.
Those are in the fuel stops where you can get a truck in.
I think it's the Loves in Italy. Is it? I think it's the Loves in Italy, Texas, that has the Texas Smokehouse right across the street, actually.
Yep.
That one, too.
Yeah, you can't get trucks into that one. But, like, the actual one right up there by Kilgore and Tyler.
Yes.
Exit. You can get in that smokehouse there. And there's a Motel 6 next door. The parking's terrible. There's only, like, room for 8 trucks there at that smokehouse. And then the Soul Man's there was Roy City off exit 77B there, right off of 30, before you get into Dallas. That one you can get a truck in.
Yep,
and then
that
the other one is down at Van, where I think you can get a truck in that one down there,
we
too.
We did have an old episode of places you could eat.
Oh, yeah.
We had an old episode.
I know quite a bit of food places down there.
Have you guys had Terry Black's yet? I mean, Terry, yeah.
No, I had Bodacious down there, which is up off east of Tyler and Kilgore there, off of 30. Remember what exit number that is down
Next
there.
Next time you're in Austin, Terry Black's Barbecue.
Terry Black's.
It's been my top favorite of all time. I had Franklin's. I mean, that's like the famous
one. I like Franklin's. I've competed with him.
Yeah, really?
I didn't meet him, but I've competed
Have you
with
made
him.
The Mecca trip to Snow's down there at all?
Not yet. Yeah, I've yet.
They're all over video, YouTube and stuff.
It's only Saturday, one day.
I know. It's a one day.
Saturday only. You got to get there.
Lined up down the road. Yeah.
It's got to be worth the trip. What's funny about the first time I had Franklin's, it was during, you know, the COVID regime that was going on.
You know how much he makes?
At Franklin's? Oh, yeah. It's got to be a wild.
Oh, it's crazy. But it's crazy stupid.
I didn't know that it was so popular and that you really had to order ahead, but I went on a 30-mile bike ride, and then I went and had a pound of brisket. And then I felt like
I was going to ask you. You're healthy.
Yeah.
Well, how much barbecue do you eat if you're eating barbecue?
Like I said,
are we gluttonous?
Yeah. Barbecue. If you get true Texas barbecue, cooked with the salt and pepper only that they put on there for seasoning, and just the meat, and stay away from the fat, it ain't bad for you.
Yeah, it's
it
actually
won't hurt
yeah.
you I'm nothing. A, it's good for you.
We're pro meat.
Well,
guys.
I don't care for this. Yeah. I don't care for sauce. I like everything just rubbed and.
I'm a firm believer that if it, quote, now, needs sauce, it might not be good. Kind of like with a steak. Yeah. Like if it
now, I hate
sauce.
To say this because you are from Texas and it's Texas. I stopped at a damn Buc-ee's.
Here we go.
And I'm like.
Are you about to be Buc-ee's disrespecting?
No.
He will.
He will.
Oh,
and I'll tell you why.
He don't want to talk about it.
We'll get to that in a second. But I went in there and we're looking it over. The place is stupidly big, you know. It's Walmart gas station. We're getting it. They put one over here in Tennessee.
I heard somebody say once.
In Kentucky.
It's like Walmart and Cracker Barrel had a baby.
It is.
And yeah. Buc-ee's with it.
When you got to walk a half mile to get to the pisser, I'm sorry. So, that's too far.
Well,
the
bathrooms are
far down.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God. The bathrooms are the. Which
if you can't find a place to sit down, you're in the wrong one.
All I know is every bathroom ought to be that way. There shouldn't be no his or her bathroom.
The only one.
You walk in, you go in a door, that's your bathroom.
Yep. The standard.
The only
standard.
Right.
Place I found that is comparable to them as far as the inside, not the pumps, but inside the building, is right there in Missouri at the state line, which is Boomtown. Right there.
No. In Missouri, they got another one. It's called a Bear.
No, at Boomtown, exit 10, right there, Charleston, Missouri,
right.
Up in the Boot Hill.
Really?
You walk in that place, and they have 100
right.
Okay.
Bathroom
but
stalls.
But they have diesel pumps.
Yeah.
What about the – you never stopped at Busy Bee in Florida?
Oh, yeah.
Busy Bee's another
– Well, what's the one there Busy in Missouri Bee, right there next the Busy, to the Six Flags? It's a Bear. They're copying Buc-ee's. But it's a Bear. It's the same layout, 100 gas pumps out front.
Oh, is it by St. Louis or whatever?
Right off 44 right there as you come out there. It's right by Six Flags, right in front of Six Flags. Well, what I started to tell you is I went in there and I said, all right, I'll try your brisket. Let me have a brisket sandwich. So the guy handed me one, just made it, handed it to me. We paid, we went out in the car and ate it. And I got to say, it was actually pretty good.
I was stunned.
Now I do competition brisket. I know what brisket is.
This is a good testimony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good.
This is a very good testimony of it. I love their brisket sandwich. Yeah, there's a Love's right across from a Buc-ee's in Calhoun, Georgia.
Right.
And I will always stop
that
at that.
That is literally
Love's.
My award-winning brisket.
Holy shit.
And I put that in. So you can look
I feel
at
like
that
this.
And you can tell.
I know exactly what this tastes like, and I bet it would fall apart in my mouth.
I'm telling you, we won an award. That's why I used it as a label, and we put it on there.
My mouth is watering looking at it.
Best sandwiches are the ones that have been sitting there for a little while.
Just that red.
Let the sauce soak
into the bread.
I know that this is
that is that, and I beat, you don't know who probably Carolina King is. He was with them. He was on the show with Mylon Mixon when they did all their, when they were on TV and everything.
I don't know the inside.
He's out of North Carolina.
But I beat him. So, and we've beat him. And
got lots of trophies.
I feel like the niche barbecue competition is probably very cutthroat.
It is.
Yeah. I feel like it gets really down and dirty.
You can make the best brisket today and then cook it again tomorrow and it'd be 80% of what you had. For some reason, it does not.
So sometimes luck is a factor.
Luck, room temperature, humidity. There's a bunch of things that change and how you cook it and stuff. And we that was a throwdown, put in the oven, cooked it all night, went home, didn't think about it, didn't care.
So is that why, do you think, because there's always an argument of who has the best barbecue and stuff. Is this why people in, there's barbecue places in, you know, New York.
Yes.
You know, do they suck because of, the latitude line that they're on?
No. The problem with barbecue is what you're saying barbecue. What you call barbecue in Texas is not what they call barbecue in West Virginia. It's not what they call barbecue in New York. It's not. It's all different. If you get over to South Carolina, and you walk in there to a barbecue place and you say, give me your best, you're going to take two bites of it and throw up if you don't like vinegar-based mustard sauce, because they put it on everything.
And, okay, so every region has their...
Every region is...
You got Kansas City, same way.
Yeah, so Kansas City is more of the ketchup and the stuff.
People are violently loyal.
Yes.
Kansas City, violently loyal. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a huge respecter of St. Louis's ribs.
Texas is salt, pepper, only brisket.
And that's my favorite among anyone. That's my favorite.
I'm biasedly speaking because I've had stuff in KC. I've had some stuff in KC. I love the ribs in St. Louis. I cannot lie. I went to Salt and Smoke in St. Louis. I was absolutely floored. I couldn't believe it.
Do you prefer a St. Louis cup or a baby back?
I think I prefer the St. Louis. Like what?
St. Louis, if it's done right, St. Louis takes longer than the baby back because there's more membranes into the bones to break down. Where these, see, we could talk about this stuff forever. You get on barbecue with me. Baby back.
Well, we know the skinny guy likes barbecue. Okay,
there you go. There we go. I sure eat a lot of it.
I'm learning something. I need to know about this. Yeah. Inside barbecue.
The baby backs is basically miniature pork chops. There's so much meat on them. They cost a little bit more, but not till you get down to your point of when you're buying a St. Louis. You're buying St. Louis, baby backs are the same. You're feeding everybody, go to St. Louis. If you're throwing them in the crock pot and cooking them until the bones all fall off, pour a bottle of, what's my favorite barbecue sauce?
Bullseye.
Sweet baby Ray's in there.
Yep. Oh,
and
then
come out, that's the best barbecue I ever had. You know, it's like, oh, my God.
Ribs should not fall off the bone.
But people like them that way.
I know.
I mean, and you just, that's what they grew up eating.
I guess you tip the cat.
You say, enjoy. But then when you introduce them to real ribs, come off, you sit there. If you can walk up to a rib and you grab that bone and twist it, and there's just a little bit of hesitation, and then pulls right out clean. They're perfect. Dead perfect rib.
Terry Black's beef rib, specifically, like their beef rib, it's
I call them Flintstone ribs.
Yeah, it's a Flintstone rib, and when you pick up the bone, like it just slides right off the bone. And it's the greatest. That's like probably been my favorite.
Okay,
thing right there.
Let me ruin your whole life of meat. Do you know much about cuts of meat?
I don't know.
Do you like prime rib?
Butcher. Yeah, I like prime rib.
Do you like, what's the steak we eat?
New York strip.
Ribeye.
Ribeye. Do you like ribeye?
Oh, the ribeyes, yeah. Ribeye's fuck.
So you get a standing rib roast.
And you do like beef ribs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Beef ribs are great.
That's one, everything I said is the same meat.
So the ribeye?
Prime rib.
Prime rib,
and the ribs are in.
If you order prime rib is obviously...
Right. What they do...
Rib. It's a standing rib roast, and they cut it out.
Order it with the bones in, and it's usually three bones, and it's all. And they'll pull it back and cut it and make them into the ribs. If you leave it right as it sets, that's prime rib. You cook it slow and burn the outside. Mm-hmm. If you slice it and fry it up or cook it on a smoker, that's ribeye steak. That's the only, it's the same piece of meat.
Either way, it's all delicious.
How you cook it.
You're giving it, that's kind of information that could probably get you, killed.
No problem. There's a lot here to kill.
Yeah, wait till the meat, Big Meat finds out about this hack you're telling
me. By the way, if you like it, get on YouTube, follow Two Bearded Butchers. They're out of Ohio, and they're the ones that slice and dice, and they're good. Big old
beard. Explained a bunch
to you. They're young guys like you, and they love cooking up some beef and teaching you how it's cut, how to do it.
We've thought about doing that because you can buy a cow in Texas. Like, that's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
You don't do that up in here Connecticut. Too. But you can buy it and, go someplace.
You don't do that in Connecticut?
Nobody does that.
You can buy a quarter, half, or whole.
A lot of people in Connecticut think that, food just comes from the grocery store.
We used to butcher our own hogs.
Get any higher because people now are buying chickens because it's
I sense
cheaper.
The stain.
Chickens are cheaper than eggs. Buy a chicken, let him hatch his own. They go out and pick them every day. And then feed's cheap. Chickens are cheap. Mm-hmm. Eggs are expensive.
Yeah, eggs are expensive. Yeah, if you don't. A lot of people in Connecticut actually have. A lot of my friends have been buying their own chickens. That's been the biggest thing. And there are also huge arguments at City Hall meetings. Yeah. Everyone's like, no, my neighbors shouldn't have chickens because they crow in the morning or they...
Ours, Fort Wayne, in the city limits, you can't have chickens, can't raise chickens in the city limits.
Fort Wayne has a population of what, like...
300,000?
300,000?
Oh, no.
300,000.
That's pretty big.
Fort Wayne's, sort of 400,000.
Fort Wayne's like a medium, good-sized city.
But yet you go to the edge, to Allen County, like Tractor Supply in Fort Wayne can't sell chickens. The one out by the highway can.
I bought some chickens, nobody'd say shit.
Chicken,
well,
yeah,
you
chicken
live in Wayndale. That's kind of chicken side of town.
Keep them in the
They had a bunch of bird flu and stuff that killed a bunch of chickens.
Yeah, that's what the
And that's
problem.
What drove the price of that, eggs. Drove seeing, the price of eggs up and all that good stuff. So.
Yeah, and government's in there. Anytime government gets screwing around with shit, everything goes up.
Yeah, and once they start sticking their, tentacles in there, everything goes haywire.
Well, hey, Michael, we're glad to have you on today. A little insight on an owner-operator and...
skinny owner-operator.
Yeah, a healthy one. At least he's proof that
he
you can be healthy
brisket.
And drive a truck.
You
got
to
be determined, though.
I really appreciate you having me on, and I will say, and this is a plug, I do work as an advisor on a macro tracking app called the First Form app, and if there are any drivers on there who, want to make that change, or maybe you want to run a marathon... Dude, I can get you there. So definitely.
And how many marathons have you ran?
I've
now?
Ran four.
Four.
Full. Yeah, four full ones.
I drove a couple.
26.2 mile.
26.2s, and we're working up. We're getting there. But anybody, I do appreciate you having me on. I'm glad that I wasn't like fit shamed.
No. We wouldn't think
it's still
of
early
it.
Yet.
We wouldn't think of it, you skinny cracker. No.
Fat shamed us.
I would never do that.
Like Donkey Kong.
I don't know. Somebody said we were school buses earlier.
Who was that?
Holy crap.
Oh, yes. So
you're a school bus today.
So they said you drive an international now. Yeah, they call you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. We had this.
Hey, Thomas.
Yeah. We had this lady on here who drives yellow. Hall's yellow equipment, that was he said.
Oh, for yellow, like the company?
Yeah, no.
No, it was the auction guy. He said he sold yellow iron.
Oh, that's what it was. Sold yellow iron. That's what it was. Okay. And I said, I got a lawnmower you can sell, and I'm going to paint it yellow. And I don't know. We have so many people through here today.
Well, hey, thank you for stopping by. It was very informative.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Come on your podcast, but I don't think we can fit in your truck.
No, we'll do it. We'll do it via StreamYard. I use StreamYard. I'd love to have any one of you guys. I'd love to have the three of you guys.
We do.
Just to tell your whole story.